Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight, and we give everyone a warm welcome in their service in the name of the Lord. And I didn't mention this morning because with not having the internet going right, when I got back in the car, some people had sent messages this morning, but I never got them till when we come out of church because the phone's playing up. I'm with Three Network. They're giving trouble. And then everything else is giving trouble well. So all multiplied together. Stephen Johnson wasn't feeling too well this morning. That's why he wasn't here. And some people's electric's still out. Brother Yule went and got Laurie and took him round for a bit. But Laurie's no electric or anything round there. And the house is like a fridge. And we just appreciate Brother Yule doing that. Praise God. And I know there's other people as well. I know Sister Arlene Jones is no electric yet. Others no electric. I met a couple yesterday and they were saying the town limit will be 10 days for the electric. It's nobody's fault. It's the weather. It's one of them things. That's what's happened. Now we're getting the tale of some other girl. I don't know her name, but she was on the news. She's passing around now as well. I don't know the name, but you know the way they give all these storms names. But we just thank the Lord for his goodness. Could be worse, couldn't it? William Branham said the fella thought he was in a bad way, no shoes, but when he seen a fella with no feet, he realised he wasn't really that bad. And that's the truth of it, isn't it? Sometimes we look on the negative, but we have to look on the positive. Adris's brothers got home this morning. I don't know how he got home, but he's home. And he said he knew something happened to him in the hospital this morning, the presence of God, he said, come on him. And he knew people was praying for him and he's home. I don't know everything that's wrong, but he really appreciates prayers. We're going to keep on praying. Pray also for Sister Sharon. She's still not too good. And just praying the Lord to touch her. Let's read in our Bibles tonight. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read, stand while we read verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 4. Alienated from the life of God. And I just want to really look at this phrase. I've preached on it before, but this is a totally different line of thought tonight. And this is a new message I've done out on it. Let's read verse 18, praise God, and then we're going to pray. And the Lord bless each one that's come tonight and made an effort. Appreciate each one that's come. Verse 18 of Ephesians 4. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Let's bow our heads, and if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord. We're going to pray tonight, praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you tonight that your ears ever open till our cry. Lord, we know that for two or three is gathered together in your name, that you have promised you will be in the midst of us and not to bless us. Father, we thank you for the blessing. We acknowledge, Lord, of ourselves we can do nothing, but with you we can do anything. Lord, we need you tonight. Every hour we need you. Every day we need you. Every minute we need you. Lord, without you, we wouldn't even live. If you hold the very breath in your hand that we breathe tonight. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory for your loving kindness to each and every one of us this evening. We thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. And Lord, we know great is your faithfulness. Lord, you've heard the different names and the different people tonight that's been mentioned, and we lift them all before you this evening, and we pray for every one of them that in the name of Jesus Christ you'll make them whole, make them well in Jesus' precious name. We rebuke the devil tonight. We pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit in this house, and with hands raised, that you'll meet every single need in Jesus Christ's name. Bless your goings out. Bless your comings in, we pray. Keep your people safe as the apple of your eye. Bless your own people, Israel, as well. At this time, in Jesus Christ's name. And bless Donald Trump. Cover him with your blood. Amen. Continue to protect him, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray tonight the Holy Ghost will move. And I do take the Holy Ghost right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. First of all, we see, I want to look at what's meant by the life of God. And we were alienated from this life, from the life of God, alienated through ignorance. But what's meant by this life? And we know that Jesus Christ was a perfect exhibition or example of this life. He was this life personified. Jesus says, in me, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And in him this life was manifested as a life of holiness. And God is a holy God, and we saw through the Lord Jesus Christ that this life was manifested as holiness. And I'm going to look at some things about this life. What about it says about it tonight. He was the image of God, the very image of God, and although he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, he wasn't sinful flesh, but he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and a life lived in yet in fellowship with favor with God, though he's made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And though we were sinners, every one of us, sinners by nature, sinners by birth, but when we're saved and born again, we can live a life pleasing to God, for it is the Lord that helps us. And Jesus is our big brother, like our brother John mentioned this morning. That's who we want to be like the Lord. We want to be like the Lord. You know, there's another thing also about it, this life. It was a self-sacrifice. He gave up his own will. He gave up his own ways, as it were, to do the will of the Father. It was a self-sacrifice. He pleased not himself. He loved us and he gave himself for us. Always pleasing unto God. In Matthew 17 and 5, it says this, and keep your finger, if your Bible's open, in Ephesians. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Why was God pleased with Jesus? God was pleased with Jesus because he did the will of the Father. Amen. That's why God was pleased with him. He did the Father's will. Amen? And God wants us to do his will. Amen. What must I do that I might work the works of God? Believe. Amen. On him whom he has sent. That's what the Bible says. What must I do that I might work the works of God? Believe in him whom he has sent. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the Lord Jesus Christ pleased the Father. He obeyed the Father, but he had faith. And God wants us to have faith. And then the devil wants to dash our faith, lower our faith. And many times we pray and we think no answers came, and things seem to continue as they are, and nothing seems to happen, and doubt comes in. But God wants us to doubt our doubts, and he wants us to believe him tonight. And when we believe God, we'll please God. We will please God. And remember, no matter what the devil tells you or your own conscience tells you, because remember that the Bible says we're to cast down all reasoning and every single thought that would exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ. We are to cast it down. All them things. And we can have ideas ourselves that's wrong, and they have to be cast down. And we have to believe God. And we have to have faith, knowing that his ear is ever open to our cry. That his arm's not shortened, but he's mighty to save. And he's mighty to deliver. Here's another thing about him. That inward joy and the inward peace is what he had. He could say, my peace I give unto you. And that is my joy. The Lord Jesus had an inward peace. The Lord Jesus had an inward joy. And he can give you an inward peace and an inward joy in the midst of the storm. God can give you the peace and God can give you the joy. Do you ever have things going on? Do you ever get praying up and the Lord ever speak to you and you know God spoke to you? And even though you're in the midst of someone and it's terrible, you have a peace. You have a peace in the midst of the storm. God can give you a peace in the midst of the storm. And he can give you the joy. And that joy is a joy that may remain. The life of God is a life in perfect harmony with a perfect environment because of the Lord. You know, we heard a thing about your brother John mentioned it or prayed about it. One of the services anyhow, when the Lord was going over the water, there was a storm. There's a great storm. Such a storm that the disciples feared for their lives. Now I'll tell you, these couple of storms we have had the other night, think to yourself if you were on a boat, and I don't know what size their boats were, but the wood them in that big. Imagine you're on one of them wee boats going over somewhere and one of them storms came. 100 mile an hour wind. Wouldn't it scare the life out of you? Certainly it would. You'd be afraid, wouldn't you? And you just imagine them disciples and that wind come up. And remember, the devil's a prince of the power of the air. Now you have to look at the big picture. And what you look at God's picture, the big picture. And remember, God's plan's a perfect plan. And you see, God had a perfect plan. And Jesus was doing the will of the Father. And he was in the boat and he was going over. But you see, God had other plans, for there was a man on the other side. In the land of the Gadarenes, who the devil had bound. But God, through his foreknowledge, was sending Jesus to deliver him. He was seed. He was one God had chosen. Though the country and all around had rejected him and had chained him and he broke them and everything had seemed to go wrong, he was someone the Lord had chosen. And despite what it looked like, the Lord had chosen him. And the devil, he wouldn't, maybe he knew everything and he couldn't have knew everything was going to happen, but he was trembling anyhow. And he trembled more when Jesus got up in that boat and them disciples feared for their lives and they said, Lord, we'll perish. And Jesus said, peace, be still. And the Bible says there was a great calm. A great calm. Not just a calm, a great calm. And he got over on the other side. And I tell you, when that man met him and the demons cried out of him, we know thee, who thou art, thou Holy One of Israel. Art thou come to torment us before time? They knew him. And he commanded the devils to come out of that man, a legion of devils. That's an army of devils. That's a multitude. He commanded them to come out of him. And he suffered them to go in the swine, and the pig trade ceased. For the pigs got demon possessed, and they went into the water and were drowned. And the pig trade ceased. And the Bible says that man later was sitting at the feet of Jesus, a man that was naked and crazy, clothed and in his right mind. I remember many years ago when D.B. Robertson used to lend me the DVDs of the videos of Christ for All Nations. Reinhard Bonnke preaching right in the real time of the revival in Africa. And at one of Reinhard Bonnke's meetings, there was a man, and they brought him on the film. They made the film about it. And I remember watching it as a young believer. And he was insane. He was in Africa, and he was insane, and he was out of his mind. But when he got in one of Bonnke's meetings, God delivered him. And he set him free. And then they saw him clothed and in his right mind. I tell you, it's wonderful when God sets somebody free. Wonderful when the demons go out. Here's another thing. Jesus had power and he had victory. You see, this life, all these things are equivalent to this life. Power and victory. Power over all its enemies and victory over death and the grave. And I think one of the brothers mentioned it or prayed it this morning. Aren't you glad he conquered the grave? He rose. He's no longer in the tomb. He's no longer in the grave. He's risen. And as it's said, I guess, risen indeed. Amen. He's a risen Savior. Therefore, you know, that makes him a living sacrifice. Do you realize this evening that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only living sacrifice? He's the only one. There's other sacrifices that's been made over the years, but they're dead. Jesus Christ is the only living sacrifice. And he never offered for himself. But every other sacrifice had to offer for themselves, then the people. But he never offered for himself, for he knew no sin. For he pleased the Father. All power. All power over his enemies, over the grave. Now what's meant here also in their scripture here tonight in Ephesians, this is a wonderful word, alienated. Alienated. What's meant by this alienated from the life? It is to have no likeness to God. When you're alienated from the life of God, you have no likeness to God. And there's men tonight and they're evil and they have no likeness to God whatsoever, but they have a likeness to their father. And their father's the devil. And remember, before we were born again, we were children of the devil by nature. And every one of us once walked in darkness, and we're by nature, the Bible says, the children is wrath. And you see, this alienation is to have no likeness to God, no kinship, no nature like God, separated by sin and living in enmity with him. We're away from him. Romans 8 and 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And if a man hasn't got the life of God in him, if he's not regenerated, you can fix him up and prop him up and dress him up, but he's still dead. And if he's not born again, he's dead in sin and in trespasses. And he's alienated from God. Here's another thing about this: no fellowship with God. As soon as Adam sinned, he fell out of communion with God. As soon as he sinned in Genesis. Those in fellowship with the powers of darkness can't walk with this light. Can't do it. I tell you, people talk about demons and meetings and always the devil will come to a meeting and all the rest of it. And years ago, and I've maybe even referred to myself, but I want to tell you something, for the real power of God is the devil will get out. He'll want to leave. And you know, when the anointing comes in a service and that light really comes, the devil wants to get out. He will cry out in terror, wanting to leave. Because darkness has no fellowship with light. Now I can further prove that in a real simple way. If I was to go back to Genesis and tell you, when God said be light, there was light, the darkness was done away with, because the light was superior to the darkness. And I tell you, when the presence of Jesus comes in a room, it is superior to any other presence, and it is superior to any other power. The power and the life of Jesus Christ is superior. Do you believe that tonight? Superior to anything. And the light overcomes the darkness. In Acts 26 verse 18 it says this: to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The gospel turns people from the power of darkness to the power of God. And we'll go further with it. We'll take it further with the scripture. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God. Amen. It's not wonderful. So when you're hearing the real gospel, that is the power of God. Thank God for the power of God tonight. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan, the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Here's another thing about this alienation. This alienation leaves you with no hope in God. No hope in God. No hope. Where there's no faith in Jesus, there's no hope. Where there's no faith in Jesus, there's no hope. And those without the hope are without God in this world. I remember as a wee lad going to hear Ian Paisley preaching in Dromore. There's actually a tape of it somewhere. I don't know if it's at my mum's house or one of the boxes somewhere. But Ian Paisley preached from Ephesians. And he preached five things the man without God is, without Christ is. And one of them things is this: a man that doesn't have Jesus Christ doesn't have God. And no man can come unto me except my Father draweth him. And no man can know him, God, save to him who the Son will reveal him. He's godless. and he's Christless, and he's helpless, and he's homeless, and he's friendless. And I'm not going to preach Ian Paisley's sermon tonight because I can't remember it all, or I would preach it. But praise God, it was a powerful sermon. I'll tell you that, and as a wee lad. And I'll tell you another thing. We look at clocks. We never looked at the clock once. He must have preached over an hour. And there wasn't a person said, I wish there was a way out. You couldn't get enough of it. Because God was moving with his word. And it was a simple gospel message. Thank God tonight. Ephesians 2 and 12 says this, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Without God in the world, no fitness for God. And a man that's not born again, and a man that's not saved, there's no fitness for God. There's not a man can come up to God. You know, the people try it, and they'll say, Lord, I've lived a good life, I've done this and that. You see in that light of God. You ever hear the story William Branham tells about the man that got over, and he said when he came in that light, he gives a name and all for him. Says he thought he'd never told any lies till he got in that light. And then he realized he'd told a brave lot of lies. And he thought a whole lot of things till he got in that light. But that light exposed him. And that light, it's the only light tonight. And God's word is a light. And God's word. You know, when I preached on the tabernacle and we got to the lava, many remembers that. Now, bear with me for a moment. When you looked into the lava, the lever, I've said it wrong, not the lava, the lever. The lava is something that for burning, but the lever is what holds the water. And it's made from the looking glasses of the women of Israel. And when you looked into the lever and the water, there was a reflection. You could see your face. And you see, when you look into the Word of God, there's a reflection. The Word of God exposes sin. There's a reflection when you look into this Word. And I tell you, we need the fitness, no fitness to God. The carnal mind can't please Him. Without holiness, no man can see the Lord. Now, there's only one form of holiness tonight. That's the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's something we don't work for, He gives it to us. But that doesn't mean we go and live like the devil. We live righteous because we want to please the Lord, don't we? We want to live for the Lord. Except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Now, there's another thing about this alienation tonight. What's the cause of this alienation? You could say it's threefold. The first thing you could say about this alienation is ignorance. Ignorance. Alienated. You know, ignorance. This is a willful arrogance, you could call it. For Jesus said, if ye had known me, ye would have known my Father also. John 8, verse 19. And ye would come to me. If ye had known me, ye had known my Father also. How many people hear the gospel, but they do nothing about it? Willful ignorance, that's called. They know they need to be saved. People can even tell you how God convicted them, how God moved on them, but they've done nothing about it. Willful ignorance. And Jesus here tells them, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. There's another thing about it with this alienation is as well, blindness. This is a threefold thing. It's the ignorance, and it's the blindness, and it's the darkness. There's your three things. Ignorance, blindness, and darkness. Blindness. Because of the blindness of the heart, those who prefer the darkness to the light, their hearts are smitten with dark blindness. Smitten, blindness. Spiritual ignorance. It's conditioned. Deceitful heart. The Bible talks about it. Deceitful heart and darkness. The understanding darkening. The Bible speaks of understanding but darkened. Now, people think, you know, but this homosexual stuff, let me mention this for a moment tonight. I know God can save them. But let's not forget the word of God, that God said he gives them over to the reprobate mind, to work that which is unseemly, and they're condemned in it. And there's a line that people can cross, and there's no coming back. It's the same at the end time where people speak against the work of God and they call it the work of the devil. That's to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That's a deadly thing. Jesus said all manner of sin will be forgiven except one word spoken against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven in this world or the world to come. Isn't that something? But people are so ignorant today, they'll do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4 says this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world, that's who's operating, have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But the God of this world has blinded them. That's who's blinded them. I tell you, it's not a terrible thing tonight. Blinded. And we have all children and they're growing up in this world and we're praying for them. But God's no grandchildren, only sons and daughters. Every single one of them will have to be saved. And me getting saved won't save them. They have to be saved themselves. Every one of them, it's an individual affair. But we're praying to be saved, aren't we? Aren't you believing? Amen. Now what is it? Is there a cure for this alienation? Now I've given you all the negatives if you want, but there's a cure for it. There's a cure for God can bring them out of it. What is the cure for it? We can instantly escape from this awful condition. But one thing, confession. Now John mentioned a tremendous thing this morning, repentance. John preached repentance. That was his message. And that was enough. That was the message of the hour. That's what it was, the message of the hour. And then in Acts 2:38, Peter preaches repentance. Repent ye therefore. And the Bible preaches repentance. And here's a word as well, confession. Now this confession is not the confession down with a boy dressed in a black cloak. Now I'm not talking about that sort of a confession. If we confess our sins to the Lord, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Because you see, God's lamb has been slain and the propitiation has been made. John 1 verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. There's your propitiation that's been made. Jesus Christ made that way. He pleased God. God was satisfied with what he done for every one of us. Amen. Amen? I heard a clip of an old man, an old preacher. I don't know. I don't even know where I saw the clip on some app a few days ago. And he says, what did you do to get saved? You done nothing. Absolutely nothing. But you prayed and you repented. We know that. That's right. But you didn't do anything to please God that you'd get saved. You just come to the Lord. Now there's maybe some days you don't feel saved, but you're still saved because you've called on the name of the Lord. He was bringing out, he was challenging those that preach saved and lost, really. And in a few moments he left them on no foundation. Just in a few moments. Because you see, Jesus says, I have lost none that thou hast given me. None. Now if a man's saying that somebody can be saved and they're lost, any, they're telling you that the Lord's lost somebody. But Jesus says, I've lost none. Oh, but he didn't live right. That, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at that person's life. But you see, that's the wrong thing. You need to look at the life of Jesus. He's the one. He's the one God accepted. Because God accepted him, we are saved. And not by works, lest any man should boast. But we're saved
by grace through faith in Christ, and by that alone. John says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In 1 John, or as Gary had mentioned this morning, Brother Ewell used to call it Small John. Ron Borthwick asked Ewell one time, why is it Small John? I don't know how I explained it, but anyhow, it was Ewell's way of saying it. Ewell knew what he was talking about, even if Ron didn't understand it. Isn't that right, Ewell? Ewell knew. And Ewell knew when he went to Small John, he was where he was going to in the Bible. He was going to 1 John 2 or 3. Amen. But in 1 John 2, verse 2, he is a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, how could you preach it's limited when you look at that? That's for the whole world. Now, I know the whole world won't be saved, but there's the ability that they could be. The price has been paid for every one of them. On the day of judgment, not one of them will have an excuse. They've all had the chance, and the price was paid for every one of them. The fare was made for all of them. Now, so there's the confession, and then here's another word, reception. And I'm almost finished. I've only 3/4 on of the night. All right. John will get me after this. I'm joking. Praise God. There's a reception. What's the reception? It's John 1 verse 12. But as many as receive him. You have the confession and the reception. You receive him. You confess him and you receive him. What's he do? He gives you power. As many as receive him. Look what it says. Till as many as receive him, to them gives he power. Or another scripture says, right to become the sons of God. You have the right to become the sons of God. Power to become the sons of God. Amen. Even to them that believe in his name. But he's not part of our group. It'll not make any difference. If he's believed in the Lord, he's saved. I don't care if he's part of somebody's group or not part of their wee name. As long as he's the name tag, the blood mark, yes. He'll get in. Yes. Amen? There's a whole lot of religious people that come up religious that could live even better than that man, but they won't get in if they haven't got the blood mark. Isn't that right? The third and last thought. Praise God. Submission. Confession. You confess. And then there's a reception, you receive. And there's a submission. You submit to it, don't you? You fully submit to it. Divide in him. John 15, verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. And I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. There's a commitment. That's a mission. And we submit to the Lord. And when we do submit to the Lord, we'll keep the Lord's ways, won't we? Praise God. Let's stand our feet tonight and you have listened well. The Lord bless you. And I trust that God will speak to somebody and bless somebody tonight from his word. And we'll be back on Thursday night, the Lord willing. And the Lord's always willing, isn't he? And then next Sunday, Brother Samuel and Brother Mark. But they can please pray for me going to preach for Brother Frank. You know, I don't know many sermons I've preached, but I need the Lord's help. Every time you get to preaching, you need the Lord's help. Amen. Keep us in your prayers. And Sister Sharon, keep her in your prayers. She's not too good. That's about 2 weeks. And I tell you, the devil's a liar. And he just wants to give all the trouble he can. I think it was John used to say, maybe when we're fixing something, it just wants to give a whole lot of trouble. And that's the truth, isn't it? The devil wants to give a whole lot of trouble. But I'm telling you one thing, we need to give him some back. I'm telling you, we might have took a couple of counts down. But we're up again. And I'm telling you, the fight's still on. And we're in a warfare. I'm of somebody on our side, and when he comes on the scene, every other power must debate it off. His power is supreme. That's prayer heads. If you have prayer or need tonight, or the Lord spoke to you, just lift your hand to the Lord as we pray this evening. God bless you, Simon. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that your ears ever open to your cry, to our cry. And your arm's not shortened, but you can reach and you can save. Lord, we do bind the strong man tonight, not by our own strength or power, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you said that which we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That which we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Father, we bind every work of the devil, these colds and flus and all these different ailments and diseases. We bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. And we speak health and strength. Touch those that raise their hand tonight. In the body, physically, spiritually, financially. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Pray for we brother Laurie. Strengthen him and bless him. Ask in you, Lord, this evening that the electric will come back on in Laurie's house quick. Amen. Do a quick work. Yes, bring the electric on, Lord. That he can have the heat and the comfort for his earthly body. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray this evening. We ask you for all those sick at this time and laid aside. Lord, we know the devil's a liar, going about seeking whom he may devour. But we thank you that there's someone tonight that breaks down the strongholds of the enemy. There's someone tonight, and Lord, we can say the snare is broken. And we are escaped, and our help is in the name of the Lord. Father, raise up tonight. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a mighty standard against him. Raise up a standard, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, and rebuke every work of the devil in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray you'll bless and keep your people. Any that's lost, Lord, through this storm or anything's happened, may they receive it back tenfold, pressed down and running over the top. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver them out of them all. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Lord, your word can't fail. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. We believe you tonight. Lord, you said, prove me now, saith the Lord, and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to contain. Lord, this is your word tonight, and we believe your word. Lord, forgive us for unbelief. Forgive us, Lord, when we doubt and play about, but help us to faith. Help us to believe you, and keep us, O God, as the apple of thy eye. Bless everyone in this service. Every brother, every sister, every boy, every girl. We pray for all our loved ones again tonight. For every son and every daughter, every husband, every wife, every aunt, uncle, niece and nephew in hearts tonight. Lord, we claim every one of them under that token. Lord, may that mark of the blood of Jesus be upon them tonight. May they have that mark on them. And may they be there on that day, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Lord, I'm asking you tonight that you'll cover us afresh with the blood of Jesus Christ. And we put the blood of Jesus Christ between ourselves and the enemy tonight, and between our loved ones and the enemy. We place the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for what you've done and for what you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. God bless you as a brother Gary comes. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. Let's sing the hymn, "I Serve a Risen Saviour. He's in the world today, and I know that he is living, whatever man may say." It's
Yes, Lord Jesus.
All of us that have a prayer request, Lord, do it now, Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you, until we meet again, bless us, Lord Jesus. We ask all these things in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray.
Amen. Let's sing the hymn, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Ask for thee. Oh, how I love Jesus. We'll be back again this Thursday night at 7:30. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its words. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It's in the redemption, have you got it? It's in the redemption, have you got it? I'm sorry. What's the key?
Get along.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing his word. I'm giving him my ear, the sweetest thing on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, hold on, we'll start. There's two different courses. Oh, I love the Savior's name, but I prefer to sing, Oh, how I love Jesus.